Cast. Presented by XFL2K.com. With your host, Tron Hawkins.
Welcome, this is the XFL Podcast. It's your host, Tron Hawkins. Today, I am talking about the Houston Roughnecks. XFL Newsroom's very favorite team out of all eight, the Roughnecks, because he is from Houston. I'm kind of going east-west, or west-east-west-east on these team previews. I'm going to try to preview them all before training camp starts and then kind of get into the quarterback battles and stuff like that in the camp, and the training camp, not the mini camp, but the training camp. Work my way through these teams over the next few weeks. But first, we're going to talk about news that came out today, and that is the XFL game balls. Yes, balls, plural. I don't think we was ready for this news. We knew there was going to be the game ball, but we didn't realize there's eight different balls. So this is how it's going to work. When the team is on offense, they get to use their specific color ball. Wildcats ball is orange and black. The Defenders is red and white. The Guardians is black and red, and it looks like the old XFL logo. It's badass. The Renegades is that baby blue with the black X. Dragons is orange with the kind of emerald green. Battlehawks is baby blue on dark blue. Roughnecks have the XFL logo, the red and blue. And then the Vipers is like green and yellow on the XFL logo. And then the ends are the colors, is their primary color in white. The two distinctive features that makes the XFL's official football stand apart from any in sports. Like I said, the game ball comes in eight custom looks to match each team's primary color scheme and is distinguished by the following. The points of each football are wrapped with X marks in white and the team's primary color. This design allows receivers to track the ball easily. Patent-pending X-Pebble grip technology will help players control the ball with a feel that enables a tight spin on throws and also allows the ball carriers to enhance their ball security. There's little X's imprinted on the balls. It is awesome. Go check it out right now. The XFL spent the past year developing the game ball with football manufacturer Team Issue in Dallas. The first version was tested with players on the field during the XFL rules testing this past spring. They've secretly been testing this ball. Based on the feedback from quarterbacks and receivers, adjustments were made and updated versions of the ball was tested over a 10-week period at each XFL summer showcase. And then after additional feedback from players was received and hours of tape was watched and analyzed, final adjustments were made and the final ball production began in September. Each version of the XFL game ball will start to see action on the field next month when XFL mini camps open across the league. The XFL game ball is also available for a very expensive $125 on XFL Shop. Like I said, go check out the pictures. The X-Pebble technology is awesome. It's a standard professional side football. The texture is patent-pending X-Pebble exterior grip technology. The team on offense will use the ball featuring their team's custom look and color scheme. It's red leather. The ball will be brown on game day after pre-game conditioning. Like I said, it has the X-tips and the X-Pebble technology. Like I said, we knew kind of what the ball was going to look like due to what they tried at the showcases, but we wasn't ready for the different colors for each team. So I think it's awesome. I think it's unique, and I'm excited to see this in action. I love how each team has their own ball. That way the receivers can go, okay, I see that green. The Vipers receiver is like, I see that green spiral in the air. That's my ball, you know. So I kind of love that, and I can't wait to see it in action. Hopefully we get to see it a lot in the mini camp videos, stuff like that, kind of get a, not really a hands-on feel, of course, but kind of see how the receivers and stuff react to it, how the quarterbacks spiral and all that good stuff. I can't wait to see the ball in action, and I want one really, really bad for Christmas. So if my girlfriend's listening to this, baby, you know what to get me. I want an XFL ball, and I want the two shirts I need to collect all eight team shirts. That's all I want for Christmas. That's all we need as XFL fans want for Christmas. Get a football and some gear. Speaking of Houston, we found out that Houston will host the 2020 training camp. NFL Commissioner Arnes Oluluk announced that Houston will host the league's centralized preseason training camp for all eight of its teams in partnership with the Harris County Sports Authority. XFL scholars will practice and prepare for the 2020 season from January 4th to 22nd at these Harris County venues. So Dallas will be at Darrell Tully Stadium, which is Spring Branch ISD. Waits going to be at Houston Christian School. The Defenders will be at Rice Stadium at Rice University. Houston gets to stay home at TDECU Stadium. Los Angeles will be at Alexander Durley Stadium at Texas Southern University. New York will practice at Husky Stadium, Houston Baptist University. The Battlehawks will be at W.W. Thorne Stadium, Aldine SDU. Seattle will practice at Del Mar Stadium at Houston ISD. And Tampa Bay will be at George Turner Stadium at Humboldt ISD. Houston and Fox Sports will also be in town to cover XFL's preseason buzz. Houston is a sports town, Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner said. We have great fans and we support our teams. The XFL made the right call when it chose the city as the home of the Roughnecks. And now I'm even more excited that all eight XFL teams, nearly 1,000 representatives, will come to Houston area for training camps in January 2020. I am confident this will generate a great deal of fan excitement and interest in the new football league. Everyone at the XFL is grateful to each of the area colleges and high school athletic directors who have helped us make this a reality, Luck said. We're excited to welcome our teams to Houston as we prepare for the kickoff on February 8, 2020. When Houston kind of came to the XFL about a bid to host the Roughnecks, or when they, you know, wanted to get a team there, they kind of pitched this idea to say, hey, if you give us a team, we can do training camp there. We can do a centralized training camp. I think this is good for the league in a way where they can have practice games and stuff with each other. I mean, I know it's going to sound weird because they're going to be rivals, but this is not like, I mean, they're competing teams, but they're still under the XFL banner. This ain't no owners, you know, in the way. They're all centralized one league. So, if you look at it that way, everybody wants the league to succeed. So, the best way to do that is have practice games, have scrimmages, kind of like they do in the NFL, which usually, you know, teams that play each other during the season ain't really going to practice. You know, teams that play each other maybe that week in preseason will practice against each other. But I think it's a great idea, and I can't wait to see some videos from it, and I can't wait to see these players, you know, use these new footballs in Houston. You know, we found out LA's, you know, doing the mini camp in Las Vegas, which is weird. Mini camps start in a few weeks, actually not too long from now. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in training camp and these training camp battles, which we're going to talk about, you know, in the next few weeks or, you know, in the next couple months leading up to 2020. So excited. We're getting closer and closer. Back to this, we're going to talk about the Roughnecks. Speaking of Houston, we're going to talk about their schedule, the coach, the quarterback, all their players and stuff like we've been doing the last couple weeks. It's going to be great talking about this team. What a great team the Roughnecks is. Can't wait to talk about them. So when talking about Houston, you have to talk about June Jones, the coach. I like June Jones as a coach. I think he's a great coach. He was great in Canadian Football League. He was good for the Falcons, great for Hawaii. The thing about him, though, is sometimes I wonder if he's overrated. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Just he's never really had huge success on the pro level. That don't mean he won't have it. I mean, I think Houston's a really good team. I like him as a coach. I like him as a person. I think he's going to be a great coach in Houston. Him going to Houston was probably one of the worst-kept secrets of the whole coaching search. I think he's probably the second or third best coach in the league. Like I said, he's never had a great pro experience. I mean, he wasn't great for the Falcons. He did good against, you know, he did good for Hawaii, but who did Hawaii really play then? You know, when they played a real team like the Georgia Bulldogs, something, they got stomped every time. But he's good in Canada, and he's kind of like Chessman. He's really good in Canada. So I think he'll be a good coach. I think he'll be a good motivator, kind of laid back. I think he's a player's kind of coach. So I can't wait to see him coach for Houston. I think he's going to be a really good, him and Stoops, him against Stoops, kind of the marquee matchup Houston and Dallas is in this league for the first season at least. Let's see what he can do in a pro league like this. Well, he got to pick his own ingredients. You know, he got to pick his own players. He has a plan if you look at the players that he's picked. So let's see what he does. Let's see what he does when he's the chef getting to pick his own groceries to cook with. So let's talk about the schedule. Week one, then on the first Saturday, they play the Wildcats in the nightcap game. Week two, they play against the Battlehawks, which is going to be a great game, offense against defense. At Tampa Bay and Tampa's home opener, week three. At Dallas in the first marquee game on Fox Sports 1, Sunday, March 1st, week four. Versus Seattle, week five. Week six, they go at New York, which would be a pretty good game. Against the Defenders, which could be a championship game preview, week seven. And then week eight, nine, and ten, they play in the division, including a week eight game against L.A. And then they go on a Thursday night against Dallas. And Houston, that's going to be a huge game on Fox. And then at Seattle, close out the season. They have a lot of big network games. They play on Fox two times. And they play on ABC 5 times. So, I mean, on the big networks, and other times they're on Fox Sports 1. So, they're not on ESPN any at all, which is weird. They're not on ESPN any. They're not on Fox Sports 2 any, ESPN 2 any. They're not on Fox Sports 1 or the big channels, Fox and ABC. So, you know, June Jones and that Houston market is huge for the XFL when they're on the big channels like that. That's why I think a lot of people like that June Jones as a coach. He's going to get viewers. People want to see him coach. People want to see the big cities like Houston play. You know, you don't see Tampa on ABC and Fox all the time, if I'm being honest. They're not going to be on ABC and Fox a lot, but Houston, Dallas, LA, those big West Coast teams will be, you know, where the fans are. Those are big cities. DC is actually going to be, I think DC is going to be the East Coast version of that. People that want to see them play. I think that's going to kind of even out next year when we see who the good teams are, see what the carryover is. But yeah, everybody wants to see Houston play. We'll talk about their stadium. They're playing in TDECU Stadium. I like this. I think they're the only team playing in a college stadium. The reason why I like it is you got these college students, you know, spring semester's over, they ain't got no football to go to. College baseball is not huge. Basketball is. Basketball is going to be going on. I don't know how good Houston's basketball team is. So, you know, the run for the Final Four and March Madness, all that's going to be going on around this time. But, you know, do a deal. Run a deal, like I said before. Run a deal where college students can get in these games 2-for-1 or something. You know, have, you know, beer night. I don't know if they can sell beer there on a college campus. I don't know how that works, you know, in Houston. But, yeah, these college kids come there. It's on campus. And just rock out the stadium. I think Dallas is going to, I think Houston's going to have a pretty good show up, turnout, especially between fans of the team, like XFL Newsroom, like Steven. And then these college kids is going to show up and just make it crunk. Make it a party, you know, tailgate and stuff. I think Houston could be a surprise in that category when it comes to having a lot of fans show up. So watch out for Houston and these college kids on campus coming and just showing out. Speaking of college kids, let's talk about this team. Their signed QB was Philip Walker. He was a 4-year letterman at Temple in 2013-16. He is the Owls' all-time leader in pass attempts, completions, passing yards, and touchdown passes, and total offense. He had 11,100 yards total offense and 72 touchdown passes. In 2015-16, he led Temple to two of their three 10-win seasons and the first ever back-to-back bowl appearances in school history, along with their first conference title in 49 years. Walker spent 3 seasons with the Colts practice squad. You know, a lot of people wanted Johnny Manziel to go to Houston, and I get that, big name. Philip Walker was known as P.J. Walker in Houston. That's why a lot of people might have not heard about him, because he went by a different name. But I know when it kind of broke out, it was like, Philip Walker, why him? Obviously, June Jones sees something in him. I think he sees that he can run his offense the way he wants to. Now, here's what gets confusing about Philip Walker being the assigned quarterback, because with the first pick in the skill phase position, they picked Connor Cook. He's an experienced, productive college quarterback at Michigan State. Connor Cook was drafted in the fourth round by the Raiders in 2016. Cook is a well-versed pro-style quarterback who constantly displays the footwork, timing, and crispness in his fundamentals. He's a high-quality quarterback. He has ample arm strength to finish throws on the perimeter and down the field. He has toughness to stand tall and drive the ball regardless of pressure. Cook's confidence, experience, and decisiveness makes him a reliable rhythm passer for an XFL offense. This is the biggest quarterback controversy to me in the league. Connor Cook actually has a chance to beat out Philip Walker. I believe that. Connor Cook's won more bigger games. He's been on the bigger stage before. Connor Cook could beat out Philip Walker. Connor Cook could be the quarterback week one against LA. We'll get to LA's quarterback controversy on their episode in a couple episodes. But I think he has everything it takes to beat out Philip Walker. That's been the most interesting matchup, I think, the quarterback battles in camp. Sammy Coates is another player I want to talk about. He played college football at Auburn. He played 2013 SEC title game and 2014 national championship game. He was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers in the third round of 2015 draft. He spent 4 seasons in the NFL, including 12 games with the Texans in 2018. Sammy Coates is a very good college wide receiver. I think he's going to be a good receiver in this league. You know, he's somebody I think kind of got overlooked once he went to Pittsburgh. I mean, his third round pick was no thing to be ashamed of. Been playing a big game, put an SEC title game and the national championship game where they lost to Florida State. Keep an eye on him for the team. Cam Phillips is a wide receiver at Virginia Tech. He's on Buffalo Bills as an undrafted free agent in 2018. He's waiting until 2018, signed practice squad the next day. He's on Virginia Tech, another good football school, the big time football school. Cam Phillips could be one of those sneaky guys that could be a sneaky good player in the league. Jalen Saunders, he went to Fresno State. He's a good slot receiver. He had 5 stints with NFL teams before posting 1,909 yards receiving in 2 seasons of the CFL. He's a multiple threat as a hybrid inside-outside receiver as professional. Saunders' greatest trait still remains his catch and run ability. High-quality instincts and athleticism. He displays an ability to change the game with big plays on offense and special teams. Again, one of these Swiss Army guys. Guys that can do anything you ask them to do, inside, outside. Putting up almost 2,000 yards receiving in the CFL is pretty damn good. So he's a guy, I think, that maybe was like a, you know, he went to Oklahoma as a slot receiver. He was at Fresno State and Oklahoma. He's one of those guys, I think, kind of, he was in the NFL, but he never got a chance. So since he got the CFL, he's slowly kind of maturing in that player he thinks he can be. Then you got Kyle Hicks. He's going to be the running back. His first one selected from TCU, so a local kind of guy. He's honorable mention in the Big 12, good running back. You got Devin Gray, obviously, who played at Cincinnati. He was with the practice squad for the Falcons for a while. So, you know, since he got drafted, he re-signed with the Falcons October 23rd after the draft, making him a maybe for the start of XFL training camp. So Devin Gray might not even be there. But I think the Falcons are going to keep him on the practice squad. Once he gets cut, he'll end up in XFL camp, I think.
He's a big one to me. Andre Williams. He played at Boston College as running back. He was a finalist with the 2013 Heisman Trophy. I talked about him in the draft preview and in the summer showcase episodes. He won the 2013 Doak Campbell Award as the nation's best running back. In the 2013 season, Williams became only the 16th player in NCAA history to rush for 2,000 yards, and he finished his college career ranked 5th all-time for most yards rushed in a single season with 2,177, and he was a 4th-round pick in the Giants. You see with him and Hicks, what a lot of these XFL teams are doing this Thunder a lot. And you got a quick guy, and then you got a smaller guy. You know, a quick guy and a bigger guy. This Thunder and Lightning duo. I think a lot of teams are going to do that. I can't wait to see them work together. I think Andre Williams could be a stud. And you got to think on these 2-point conversions, 1-point conversions, 3-point conversions, especially on the 1-point conversion, short yardage, he's going to be he's a bulldozer. I can see him being like a LeGarrette Blount type. I think we're going to have a lot of these short yardage specialists in the XFL, especially on the conversions and short touchdowns. Watch out for Andre Williams as a potential just game changer for the Houston offense.
Next, we're going to briefly talk about some offensive linemen. You got Cornelius Edison, who played college football at Portland State and was signed by the Bears as an undrafted free agent. He also appeared with the Falcons and Vikings roster. He was their first pick of an offensive lineman draft, which is an offensive lineman, not the sexiest thing in the world. Terry Poole, former JUCO transfer. He started 25 games at San Diego State before being drafted by the Seahawks in the 4th round. The 2015 NFL draft, he spent 3 years in the league. He was back in the San Diego area. We started 8 games at tackle before the league voted. His measurables and rhythm and pass protection are his strengths, as is his lateral quickness and hand placement. Demetrius Rainey, he's a good zone blocker. He spent 5 years in the NFL with 3 teams. He developed into a full-time starting center in the AAF. The high-effort player generates a lot of lower body and moves well vertically with strong, choppy steps. Jahard DeBeer, offensive tackle who played college football at Arizona. He's on the Bills and Jets free agent. He also played the Packers. Patrick Lewis, he's a center who played college football at Texas A&M. Lewis was signed by Green Bay as an undrafted free agent in 13. During the 14th season, he played 6 games with the Seahawks, who kept a 4-0 record with Lewis as their starting center. Lewis was not named the starting center before the 2015 season. However, he regained the starting job from Drew Norwich prior to Week 10. In 2019, he was signed by the Arizona Hotshots in the Alliance of American Football. So, Patrick Lewis is a good center, because, I mean, he played on a team with, like, the Seahawks, who ran the ball a lot. You know, they was a good running team. I think Houston's going to run the ball more than we think they are. So keep an eye on Patrick Lewis. He might be the best center in the whole league. Otero Fabluje, offensive tackle who played 2012 season for the TCU. He's really drafted in the 6th round by the Bears. Again, offensive line, not the sexiest thing in the world. So here's an interesting guy right here on the Phase 3 defensive front 7. That's Trenton Thompson. He played his football at the University of Georgia, Go Dogs. He was All-USA Defensive Player of the Year in high school. Scouts compared him to All-Pro defensive tackle Nkamba Kasu. He was signed by the Cleveland Browns as an undrafted free agent in 18, but later released. Signed by the Arizona Hotshots in 2019. After a 4-tackle performance in a 38-22 Week 1 victory over the Salt Lake Stallions, Thompson was named by Pro Football Focus to be their Week 1 AAF Team of the Week. After they ceased operations, Thompson signed the Washington Valley of the Arena Football League and later briefly signed Edmonton Eskimos of the Canadian Football League, but was just released prior to the season. He's one of those guys, if he did not stay in college, this is going to sound weird, if he would have came out after his huge year he had as a junior, he would have been a first-round pick. But he stayed for his senior year, declined sharply, didn't get as much draft stock as you thought he would. And then that's why he's kind of been jumping around. But watch out for him. He was the first pick in the Phase 3 defensive front 7 for Houston. He's going to be a stud. I feel like Trent Thompson is going to be a stud. Watch out for him getting some big plays week 1 against LA. Just watch out. Edmund Robinson, a linebacker who played college football at Newberry. He was drafted by the Minnesota Vikings 7th round, 232nd overall in the 2015 draft. He was the first NCAA Division II player to be selected in the last year's draft. He started in Week 15 in a loss against the Cardinals and was credited with 1 tackle and a pass defended. A week later, in the Vikings blowout win over the Giants, he recorded 5 tackles despite playing just 6 snaps on defense. He played 6 snaps and had 5 tackles. Do the math there. After being cut by the Vikings and moving from New York to Arizona, he was signed with the Arizona Hotshots of the Alliance of American Football for the 2019 season. Davis Toll, he was a linebacker who played college football at University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, right throw for me. So he had some issues. You know, he got suspended. We don't know if the suspension is going to carry over to the XFL, so keep an eye on that. But he was suspended for 4 weeks on October 19th out of the NFL, but Davis Toll was. But Niquez Brown, he was a linebacker who played college football at Mississippi State. He was signed by the Green Bay Packers as an undrafted free agent in 16. but released after he signed with the Birmingham Iron for the 2019 AAF season. Now the defensive backfield. J.J. Olote, some hard names. A cornerback who played college football at North Carolina A&T. He was originally signed by the Baltimore Ravens. This is first-round pick for them, Phase 4 defensive backfield draft, and appeared on the rosters of the Chiefs, Cowboys, Falcons, Buccaneers before joining the Orlando Apollos in the AAF. Robert Nelson, he was undrafted at Arizona State. He played in 20 NFL games. He is a quick, sudden athlete with good play speed to stay in phase with receivers downfield. He shows good burst to the ball in the zone and coverage, and flashes playmaking skills when he trusts in his instincts. Trey Elston, he played safety for Mississippi. He played with the Saints, Buccaneers, Browns, Eagles, Bills, Dolphins, and Saints. So maybe, like I said, a lot of these XFL players are going to be just practice squad guys, let's be honest. They're guys that's kind of bouncing around. But they need this opportunity, and I'm glad they're getting in the XFL. Marcaston Huff, selected fourth round in 2014 NFL draft with the Titans. He played 41 games as a rotational safety and cornerback. He offers good range and physicality from the back end. His aggressive play has tone, set, and potential. Ed Reynolds, he's a 2013 first-team All-American at Stanford and was selected fifth round in 2015 NFL draft by the Eagles. He played 16 NFL games, including 10 starts. He is a smart, instinctive safety with above-average ball skills. He is a reliable tackler in the box or in space. There's going to be a lot of high-scoring games in this league, let's be honest. But if you can just get one or two stops, I think, in this league, you're going to win games. Brandon Langley, he's a third-round NFL draft selection by the Broncos in 2017. He played in 16 games over two seasons in Denver, primarily as a reserve defensive back and return man. A former college wide receiver, possesses good ball skills. He has desired size and speed with strong upside as a long corner. Houston just kind of got these corners that were big, lanky, good pass defenders. Like, they might not be the type that intercepts a lot of passes, but they're going to smack them away from you. Finally, you got Dedrick Nichols, a three-time AAC performer at South Florida before signing with the Cardinals. He was a member of the team's practice squad in 2018 for 22 games. He has a slot corner size and traits with good ball production. He plays sticky man coverage with desire, range, and zone. Finally, some guys from the Phase 5 Open Draft. Akeem Wadley, he's running back. He played college football at Iowa. He signed with the Titans as an undrafted free agent in 18. In 19, he played with the Atlanta Legends on the AAF. Marquise Williams played fullback at Mars Hill and the University of Miami. Blake Jackson, the wide receiver, played college football at Mary Hardin Baylor. He played in Canadian Football League with the Stampeders. He also played in the Spring League Showcase, which they was there at. Azeem Fassine, a guard who played college football as a defensive tackle at Florida International and was signed by the Vikings in 2014. He was on their practice squad as well as the Bills and Dolphins, but he was released by the Vikings originally because of a DWI. He also played with the Iowa Barnstormers of the Indoor Football League. Coney Ealy, he was a second-round pick out of Mizzou, had 20 sacks there, 15 in the NFL, and holds several Super Bowl records. He was a huge star. He sacked Peyton Manning a good bit of time, Super Bowl 50. He bombed Coney Ealy, I think. I don't think he got a chance after that like he deserved. Coney Ealy might be the best defensive player, one of them, on Houston's team. That defensive line is going to be stacked with him and Thompson. Carl Bradford, linebacker who played college football at Arizona State. He was drafted by the Green Bay Packers in the fourth round of the 2014 draft. He was also a member of the San Francisco 49ers, Bills, Bears, and Bengals, Sasquatch Wine, Rough Riders, and the Arizona Hotshots. And Austin Recco, punter and place kicker who played his college football at Idaho Vandals football team at the University of Idaho. He moved through the rosters of the Bills and Giants by earning a starting position before he signed with Salt Lake City as a punter. Thomas Shanks wrote this from the XFL board. They do great write-ups on the draft, kind of put everything together, so I don't have to do as much research for this as I would normally would have to. I think the Roughnecks are going to be a great team. I think the quarterback situation is kind of shaky, if I'm being honest, with Philip Walker and Connor Cook. That's going to be the matchup to watch, I think, in the training camp. We're going to break those training camp battles down the closer we get to January. Keep an eye on Houston. I don't like their defense as much as I do their offense. They don't have as many big names as DC and Dallas does on offense, I don't think. I had them finishing third in the division, if I'm being honest. I have, right now, the West rankings to me is Dallas, LA, Houston, Seattle, as of now. And that might change, you know, when we get closer to the season previews. But I have, I think Houston's defense is not going to be that great, which a lot of Jim Jones defense weren't, if we're being honest. It might be a bend-not-break kind of team. I see them win a lot of high. If they do win some games, they're going to be high scoring games. Problem is, I don't know if their offense got enough to keep up with their defense being bad. I think June Jones is a good coach, but I don't think he's a great coach. And I see them kind of being in the middle of the pack when it comes to XFL teams, if I'm being honest, right now, on November 25th, 2019. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Check out XFL Newsroom. Check out XFL Unhinged. I got a new episode coming out soon. And check me out. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook at XFL Podcast. Hope you enjoy the show. This week about the Roughnecks. Next episode, whenever I can get to it, will be the St. Louis Battlehawks. So, caw-caw! as they say on Twitter, somebody knew a Battlehawks and a real bird. But I appreciate everybody listening. And coming up on the one-year anniversary of this podcast, I am so grateful for everybody. And I enjoy communicating with this community. And check out our Discord. Bring the community. Check out our Discord. Check out the fan on XFL.com. Check out XFL.com. So if you're new to the league, enjoy it. And we're getting closer and closer to week one. Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And I will see y'all next week.